This morning, our topic is being faithful with media and entertainment. And some of you are out on your own. You're not listening to mom and dad, or you're not under their direct authority on your choices. Some of you are still having to listen to mom and dad about what music you can listen to, or what movie you can watch, or how much time you're spending on social media, and whether you can have an Instagram account or not, or things like that. So wherever you are in the scale, I hope that this message will be a blessing to you, that it will help us to, honestly, to follow Jesus better. I'm not here to, because I don't think it's right, to preach a message and say, now, this list over here are all the movies that you're allowed to watch, and this list over here is the music you're allowed to listen to, and other than if it's not on my list, then you can't do it. I think that the way that we need to frame and understand this is, how can I follow Jesus in this area of my life? Because that's what it's about. The Christian faith is based on a person. It's based on knowing a person, Jesus Christ. And as we know Him, and as we love Him, as we learn to follow Him in a deeper way, our choices will begin to be shaped, won't they? But does it start with, you're identified by these rules? When I've been in Nicaragua, the people there who profess Christ are honestly many times identified by their rules. I've been there, people have said, oh, you're of such and such church. Are y'all allowed to dance? You're of such and such church. Can you do this? So the way of thinking is like this whole, who you are and what defines you is what you can do and what you can't do. Now let me say this, in following Jesus, there's a lot you can't do. And we're going to talk about that. There's also a lot you can do. But our identity is not based on, here's my list of rules. It's based upon this glorious person I know. This one who's the creator, this one who is eternal, this one who came to this earth in human flesh, who lived a perfect life of obedience to God, who died for sinners like me and like you, who redeemed sinners like me and like you from our iniquity, from our filth, from our ugly standing before God, from our condemnation, made us right with God, has given us an eternal future, and we have the great joy to know Him, to live for Him, to walk with Him, to have fellowship with Him. So I want to just say that clearly and plainly, so that that's the way that this understanding is shaped in our mind. How can I follow Jesus in this way? Now let's talk about this way, some introductory remarks. We need to recognize that media and entertainment are powerful. They really are. They're powerful things, for the good and for the bad. You know, all of us have had that happen to us where there's this song or this catchy beat, and it just goes in your head over and over and over again. You want to get rid of it, honestly. You want to chuck it out, but it's just still there. It's always there. It's powerful. It's a powerful thing. I remember when before he was king, when little boy David was called in to calm down King Saul. And how'd they have him to calm Saul down? To play the harp. He needed to have some soothing, calm music to calm this crazy man down. So music, media, movies, all these things, they're powerful. Special effects in movies, they can just be captivating, can't they? I mean, it leaves you talking about it for days, and you're talking about it with your friends. You remember when this actor said this? You remember when this happened? Remember that explosion? Wow, it's captivating. It's really powerful. When I go to a ball game, honestly, when they play the Star Spangled Banner, that was referenced in a message yesterday, when they play the national anthem, I get moved. I'm about to watch a ball game and have fun, but I'm like, wow, you know, it makes me want to pray for my country again. Just in that split moment, remember what this flag represents, and to pray for this nation. It has a powerful effect. It can also be very addictive, can it? I read this week a study getting ready for this message, and it said that the average, I don't know how true this is, but I think it's probably pretty accurate. It says the average American spends 2 hours a day on social media. That's hard to fathom. I'm still trying to process that one. The average person spends 2 hours a day on social media. So if you're here to say, yeah, I only spend 1 hour and 45, I'm good. You know, that's really not the point, is it? The point is, man, what are the things I'm not doing I ought to be doing in those 2 hours or the hour and 45 minutes? So the point is this, that all these things, they're powerful things, and we have to take it seriously how we navigate all these things as faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, we just have to be honest in the fact that we live in a lascivious culture. What that means is, honestly, it just means a filthy culture. We live in a culture where in many, let's just face it, there's a lot out there that's absolute garbage. Can we just be blunt that way? There's a lot on TV that's absolute filth. There's a lot of music and things that are just, they're awful. There's images that assault you on surfing the internet, driving down the road at a billboard, stuff you didn't ask for. It's just a filthy culture that we live in, and we have to understand that. We have to be real about that. We can't be just pretending that all this stuff is innocent. We have to recognize there's a lot out there that is really messed up. A couple weeks ago, thinking about this message, I looked up, so I'm just going to look up the most popular pop music songs that are going right now. So I looked up the lyrics. My thought was, you know, I'm going to take this, I'm going to read it to them at the Salt and Light so that it'll kind of give us an understanding of, I can't read them. I can't read those. It honestly was shocking. I've been around for a while. You know, I'm 34, been around, seen a fair amount of things. I was like, wow, this is the stuff. I mean, open celebration of evil, even an open celebration and glamorization of criminal activity even. It was amazing. And this is what goes for the most popular, not some downstream niche audience, but the most popular stuff that's being played out there for young people and not so young to consume. So just reminded me, wow, this is really a crazy world that we're trying to navigate through, trying to be faithful to Christ as we walk through this. But you know, when we think about that, why are there things like that? Why is there entertainment like that? And it really should bring our hearts to compassion. It really should. Why is there a market for smartphones? People want smartphones. Why is there a market for tablets? People want tablets. Why is there a market for sin? People want sin. Isn't that sad? So what it should make us do is say, all these evils that we see in media should not leave us as the Pharisees saying, look at this evil world. We should be real about that, recognize it's there, recognize it for the destruction that it is, but it also should melt us in compassion, say, oh God, would you please do a work of redemption in people's lives? Would you cause your gospel to be preached in the power of the Spirit, where there's such a market for evil that people would actually turn and hate evil and desire righteousness? That should be one of the reactions that we have to that. Not just a condemnation. We should know what it is, know it's there, see it for the evil that it is, but also have compassion on this sinful world that we are living in and walking in. But I also want to say this too, is that not all entertainment media is bad. I want to say that clearly. Not all of it is bad. In fact, you know, we all love a story. I think we're wired that way to love a story. All of us have probably read some book, biography, or some story. We just couldn't put it down. We've seen some movie that's just a compelling, powerful story of something in somebody's life. We love, I think humanity is wired in the image of God to love the story of good conquering evil. And you know why I think that is? You know what it should remind us of often? You know what the greatest story of all is? Is this book right here. That's what the Bible is. It's a story of good conquering evil. It's a story of Jesus Christ coming in human flesh, taking on the enemies of his bride, and destroying those enemies and carrying the bride home to be with him forever. That's a great story. That's a great story. That's the story, the powerful story that grips the lives of God's people. So we love a story. There's good things. There's good music we can enjoy. There's story we can be compelled with. There's literature, there's media, technology that we can use in good ways. It can make us laugh. It can be used even for the kingdom of God purposes. Lots of great ways that we can enjoy these things to the glory of God. But we have to think about them in a faithful way as Christians. Now, if you turn to 1 John chapter 2, let's go there and look at a few verses here. So, well, Brother Timothy, what do I need to do then? How can I be faithful with media and entertainment? And I'm going to throw you what might seem like a curveball, but it's really not, okay? Let me ask you this question. Here's really the key to you and me, and this is not oversimplistic. There's more to it than this, but here's the baseline key to you and I being faithful with media and entertainment. It's the right answer to this question. What do you love? I mean, really deep down, the deepest of all deep loves, what do you love and what do you delight in? What makes you the most happy? What are you most passionate about? So in 1 John 2, we read these familiar passages. Verse 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust or desire of the flesh, the lust or desire of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the Apostle John here says, don't love the world. He doesn't mean there you can't love a beautiful sunset. Doesn't mean you don't love people who are in the world. Doesn't mean that you can't enjoy some things about the world. He's talking about the world system. Okay, it's an organized system that is opposed to Jesus Christ. It's an organized system of fallen humanity that are rebels against God and do not want to pursue Jesus and don't want you to pursue Jesus either. So this is what he's talking about when he says the world. Now look at how the loves are contrasted in this passage. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, here's the second love, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, desire of the flesh, desire of the eye, the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that's why I ask you the question, what do you love? Deep down, what do you love? The way that John presents this passage is kind of like this. Imagine you drive on a road, and you come to a stop sign. There's only two options. You can either go left or go right. And your navigator's riding shotgun with you, and you say, hey, do I turn left or right? And he says, both. You say, well, I can't do that. What are you talking about? That's what John's saying. Either you turn left or you turn right. Either you're pursuing the love of the world or you have the love of the Father in you. You know, in one way, I believe he's saying here, a true Christian can't really love the world in one sense. Now, another sense we do because we still have a fallen nature. But in one sense, if the love of the Father is in us, it is so superior and so powerful and so strong that we cannot, if we're true believers, we cannot love the world like the unbeliever can. We cannot be enslaved to the desires of the world like the unbeliever can. But in another sense, we still war, don't we? Even true believers, faithful, mature believers, still war and wrestle with the love of the world. So my question to you is, are you turning right or are you turning left? What is your deep love? What is it that you're deeply pursuing? Now, the love of the things that are in the world is interesting. We could say, well, the world is evil, the world is bad, stay away from the world. And we have to apply that sometimes. But guess what's in the world? The things that are in the world that the Lord condemns here are the things that are in your fallen nature. Look at that. What's in the world? Verse 16, the desire of the flesh. The sinful desires, the forbidden desires of sin. The desire of the eyes. I see something, I want it bad. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. And the pride of life. You know what? That's not just out there. It's in here. So the way that the enemy works, the way that Satan works, he takes what's out there, and he takes what's out there that's attractive to what's in here, and he dangles it before us, hoping that we'll consume what's out there that's attractive to what's here in our fallen, sinful nature. So what do we do as believers? How are we faithful with media and entertainment? Is that we seek to nurture the love of the Father that is in us like never before. Look in Colossians 3. A key way for you and I to be faithful, I mean not a key way, the key way, is that we love Jesus and pursue him with all of our heart. Colossians 3 is saying this. Paul says in verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I love this passage. What he's saying to believers here, he's saying, here's who you are in Jesus Christ, now go live this way. Here's who you are. Here's who God has made you to be. You know, that's the story of the Christian message. It's what God has made sinners to be. And so he says, you are risen with Christ. This means that believers in Jesus Christ have this glorious knowledge that our identity is wrapped up in a person. As we've already said, it's wrapped up in Jesus. So there's a connection we have with Christ. When he died, in a sense, we died with him. When he was buried, in a sense, we were buried with him. And when he rose again, we were risen with Christ. So we're connected to Christ. In Christ, we're accepted. In Christ, God receives us, gladly receives us. In Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we are warmly welcomed at the table of God. We've been rescued from slavery to the love of the world. We've been rescued from the slavery of our own sinful nature. And we have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. That's who you are if you're a believer in Christ. That's who God says you are. So he says, if you're risen with Christ, keep seeking, is the original idea here. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What do you love most deeply? One way we could say that is, what do you pursue? Because all of us all day long, especially in church, can give the right answer. I love Jesus. I love God. Well, on a practical level, are you loving Jesus? So look in Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2. How can I be faithful with media and entertainment? It starts right here. It starts right here. In Jeremiah 2, in verse 13, the Lord, through the prophet, brings a stern word to the people of Israel. And I think we can probably all identify with this quite well. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed or digged them out cisterns or tanks, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, we've got to give a little bit of background to this verse so we can really get what's going on here. So over in that climate, over in that part of the world at that time, and even still now, a lot of desert, and so water is a precious commodity. So sometimes they would dig these cisterns, these tanks that would be containers to hold the whole water. Rain would come in, and the water would be there, and it would collect and have a little tank of water. Now that would be better than nothing, wouldn't it? But then imagine you had land that had a flowing, continuous flowing stream of fresh, clean, living water. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, this is what you have. This is great. I've got water on my land. It's flowing. I can go. I can drink it all the time. It satisfies me. It fills me up. Doesn't make me sick. It's good, clean water. And you can just imagine one of those tanks of water. I mean, you can imagine the stuff that gets in there. You look down in there, and there's stuff floating around. It's kind of stale. Hadn't rained in 2 weeks. This is two-week-old water you've got to drink. Now, just imagine somebody says, "Hey, are you thirsty? I got a fountain over here, living water. I got a cistern. I think I'll go get the cistern. I'll go get that dirty, nasty water. I'm going to fill myself up." If you made that choice, we'd be thinking, man, what is wrong with this person? There's a fountain of great, clean water right here. Tastes better, better for you. There's plenty of it. God says, here's the evil my people have committed. They've turned away from me, this fountain of living water, and they're just drinking up this nasty tank water. Here's the key to us being faithful in media and entertainment. What fountain are you drinking from? What fountain are you drinking from? What are we filling ourselves up with? How practically am I loving Jesus? Right? Listen, young people, let's just be really real. If you have time to spend hours and hours watching videos on YouTube, if you can put yourself to sleep at 1 in the morning on WhatsApp or Instagram or Snapchat, and that's your diet, that's your spiritual diet, but you're not in the Word of God, you're not filling your soul up with Christ, how practically really are you loving Jesus, and what fountain are you drinking from? Listen, there's a lie out there that you can consume that's okay. You can, that's acceptable. But if that's the fountain you're only drinking from, you're going to be empty. You're going to be empty, and you're going to limp along at best in your spiritual walk. Now, yesterday, when we were at Dairy Queen for lunch before we got here, my girls found some ants in their food. They weren't really hungry after that, right? What if they said, "I am never going to eat again because this food is bad, has ants, and I'm never going to eat again"? What's going to happen? They're going to starve to death. So you can say all day long, "I'm not going to do the bad stuff. I'm not going to watch bad movies. I'm not going to listen to bad music." If that's all you do, you're going to starve. The soul has to be filled up with Jesus Christ. The soul has to be filled up with the Word of God. And that's something you can do, young people. You can memorize the Word of God. You really can. You can listen to sermons. I mean, we have all these gadgets, sermon audio and all these great things. We can pull up sermons. You can spend time in the Word of God. You can spend time singing praises to God. When you're driving down the road, you can be praying, talking to God, thanking Him for the day, praying for others. So if you get nothing else, here's the way you can be faithful with media and entertainment, is to drink at the fountain of living waters. And let me say, the deeper that you go with Jesus Christ, the better you will be equipped to make decisions about what you watch and what you don't watch and what you listen to and what you don't listen to and how much time you spend on Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube and all the rest. And that's not an overly simplistic message. We're going to get to some other practical stuff here, but I don't want to just leave this so quickly. If your soul is not captivated by Jesus Christ, if your soul is not filled with Him and desiring Him and longing for Him and filling yourself up with Him, you will fill it up with something else. You will. And it must be filled up with Him. It must be filled up with Him. If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your affections. That word means your mind, your thoughts, your desires. You're setting yourself upon thinking and pondering God and His glory and His majesty. When you think about trying to be faithful in media and entertainment and pursuing Christ, think about how faithful Christ was in pursuing you. That He came all the way down to this world and He faithfully executed the task the Father gave Him, and He redeemed and purchased His people for Himself. So what a Savior to pursue. What a Lord to follow after. And that's my prayer and my exhortation to you. So moving on here then from that, what do you love? That's the key. What do you love? Well, let's think about this. A couple of practical thoughts about media and entertainment. Number one is this: enjoy God's good gifts. This is kind of a tricky message because part of you just wants to slam all media out there and all movies. It's all bad. Stay away from it. That's not really true. The other side, you don't want to be so loose that, hey, just watch whatever, just listen to whatever, it's whatever you want to do. Can't be that way. Start with this: enjoy the good gifts of God. You know there are good things you can enjoy. There's entertainment you can enjoy that's wholesome, that's appropriate. There's music you can enjoy. There's technology you can enjoy. Enjoy the good gifts of God. Paul told Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 6:17, that God hath given us richly all things to enjoy. I promise you from God's word that God is not out to ruin your fun. He's really not. God is not out to ruin your fun. God's not out to take away pleasure from life. God, His people can enjoy appropriately and in measure the things of this world far better than the unbeliever can. The unbeliever's just given over to it. But we can enjoy the good things of God, enjoy art in its appropriate form and media and entertainment in its appropriate form to His glory and to His honor. So number one, enjoy the good gifts of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. There's things we can enjoy to God's glory. We ought to do that. Secondly is this, is don't be naive. Don't be naive. We kind of hit on this earlier. I think some Christians are really naive in this area. It's just kind of like we just gobble up whatever comes down the pike. Whatever the latest movie has to be, we just go see it. We don't really think about it. We just go indulge in it. Whatever the most popular music is, we just listen to it. I mean, it's just there. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be entertained. Jesus commanded His people to love Him, to love God with all what? All your heart and soul and strength and what else? In our mind. That means we have to make wise and godly decisions. Part of following Jesus is following Him with our mind, saying, what am I consuming here? Is this really good for me? Is this appropriate? Yes, maybe, and then sometimes no. So we can't just be naive. We have to think through, what am I being entertained by? What am I listening to? How it's affecting me? We'll look at all these things. So it has to be deeper than this. It can't just be, say, well, I just turned 14, or I just turned 13, so I can watch PG-13. That's not the way to think through it, right? So, you know, there's no scripture that says PG-13. When you 12 years old and 355 days plus one, or 65 days plus one, now you're ready to go. That's not loving God with our mind, is it? Right? Now, there may be some PG-13 movies you can watch. Probably a lot you can't watch. I'm not here to condemn PG-13. I'm just saying it has to be deeper than that. It can't be, well, I'm 18. I can watch rated R now. I'm free. I'm good. I'm ready to go. The Lord calls us to be discerning in what we're listening to. So a couple of things to think about. A couple of questions. When you're thinking about media and entertainment, music, movies, etc., ask this question. What is the message of this song? What is the message of this movie? I'm going to give you a silly example. I'm not trying to just get a laugh, but it is a country song I remember listening to when I was a teenager, and it goes like this. It's about a guy who's found this great girl, and he's just excited about her, and he says this: she's a good bass fisher, a dynamite kisser, country as a turnip green. She's got her daddy's money and her mama's good looks, and look who's looking at me. Now, there's a message there, right? I kind of joke with my wife about that song sometimes. I'll just be really honest. I'll say we can laugh at that when we kind of chuck it off, but there is a message there, right? It's not a very deep one, right? But there is a message. The message is this: go find you a girl, guys. Make sure she's really good looking. She's really pleasing to the flesh. Really be nice if she got some money. And man, if she can catch some bass, that's even icing on top of the cake, isn't it? You know what most of the love songs are? You know what all that is? That's all about me, what it is. However she can please me, however she can benefit me, boy, I'm ready to roll. I am in love. Is that love? Is that love? Is love, what can I get from this? But that's most of what's celebrated, isn't it? What can fill me up? What can please my flesh? What can rock my world? What can be all about me? There's a message behind what we're listening to. Now, I know some people are going to say this. Listen, Brother Timothy, look, I just like the beat. I don't even listen to the words. Don't even listen to them. They don't affect me. Look, I recognize maybe occasionally you can sing Good Bass Fisher, okay? And it'll be all right. There might be a few things you can listen to sometimes, you know, and okay, I heard that, whatever. I'm just chunking it off. But let me tell you, if you're just filling your minds with messages constantly that are not according to the Word of God, it will affect you. It just will. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." If someone were to say, listen, I just happen to like the beat of the rap song, what's it talking about? Well, it's talking about going to kill cops, but that's okay. I can listen to it. I'll be all right. You think that's okay? You think if you just continue to hear that over and over again about killing cops, I'm not saying you're going to go kill a cop. You think that won't affect you? That won't affect you? It will. We're to fill ourselves up and screen, filter what we're filling our hearts and our minds up with. But also this question. We watching a movie, or I guess movies mainly on this one, or music. Ask yourself, okay, what is the message of this? And then, does that message correspond with reality? In other words, is this a true message or not? Is this message true or is it not? Romans 12 and verse 2, you know this verse well. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Young people, where are you supposed to get your view of reality? From the Word of God. That's not just young people, that's all everybody, right? How do we get our view of reality? From the Word of God. So does this correspond that if I just go find a girl that can just please my flesh and she's wealthy and we have fun fishing together, is that reality? That's going to make a strong bond, that's true love. That's not reality. So we screen that out. We understand this message, right? Because we know what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us that love is commitment, that love is deep, that love is sacrificial, that love is based, that the true marriage, a faithful, godly marriage is based upon the covenant of God's love with His people. That's reality. We get that reality from the Word of God. So we have to fill our minds up with the Word of God. Sometimes, In media, I think about movies and TV particularly. Hollywood has been a master at portraying people who are living in rebellion against God as doing really well. I mean, it just seems so real. You see them up there on the screen. I mean, they're right there on the screen. They seem real. And they're living in open rebellion against God, but their life's going great. Is this really true? What the Bible says? I mean, they seem like they're doing fine to me. And then every time I see that actor's picture in the newspaper, he's just happy or she's smiling and it just looks beautiful and everything's going great. You know what reality is? Reality is the Word of God. And reality says if you keep on living in rebellion against God, your end will not be good. That's reality. You war and you war against God. The reality there is destruction. Is destruction. So we have to fill our minds up. We have to get our view of reality. As we're in this world where all kinds of messages are thrown at us, we must get our reality from the Word of God. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Another powerful thing, or another principle, we think about, all right, number one, enjoy God's good gifts. Number two, don't be naive. Don't be thoughtless. Number three is this, is be honest with yourself. And know yourself as best you can of how things affect you. There may be some things that affect you. It just really, really messes with your sinful flesh. It just stirs you up. You got to stay away from it. Maybe for me, it just doesn't really bother me. You have to honestly know yourself. Maybe your parents can help you with that. Maybe a brother or sister, you say, hey, what do you think? Is this really good for me? Know yourself. How do these things affect me? Psalm 119 and verse 59 says, the psalmist says this, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Here's somebody thinking about himself, saying, where am I and where do I need to be going? I thought on my ways and I turned my feet unto your testimonies. So know how things affect you. Know yourself. Be honest with yourself. Now, one way sometimes that media can affect us pretty powerfully, again, like in TV or movies, Have you ever find yourself wanting to model someone you see on TV or in a movie? Say, I want to be like that person. So you should be saying, yeah, I have. Yeah, I really have. I've done that before. Right. Oh, that guy, he looks cool. Or boy, she just has it all together. I want to be like her. If you do that, you find yourself doing that, ask yourself really honestly this question: what is it about this person I want to model? And why is it? Now, maybe it's good, because there's some characters in movies or some heroic, brave thing. And you're like, man, that's something to model. That's something to follow. That can be good. But it also could be something unhealthy. So ask yourself, what is it about this I'm wanting to imitate? What is it about this I'm wanting to model, and why? What is in here in this heart that's being attracted to that? That's just being honest with ourselves. Be honest with yourself in this. Is this, when I watch this kind of thing, does this harden my soul to Christ? Like, do I just leave feeling really dirty and filthy? Do I leave, man, just having a mind filled up for the next, like, day of stuff that just is not leading me to holiness? If it is, it's time to filter that, isn't it? Time to filter that. So know yourself as best you can. Ask God to help you be wise in knowing your own weaknesses in that. Know yourself and learn from your failures even. Now, probably in a room this size, there's people who've struggled, we'll just say it this way, with looking at things they shouldn't look at, all right? What are the times that led you to do that? Was it really late at night? Maybe, well, number one, you need to talk to somebody, like a parent or pastor, and there's hope and help, and there's, praise God, there's resources to help. And talk, have an honest conversation with somebody that can help you with that. And you might, number one, you might start with some ground and say, you know what, after 9:30, that device goes off. That may be what works for you. I'm not giving you a rule. That may be what works for you and the person who's helping you. You have to be honest. When is it that I'm falling? Is it when I've lost a lot of sleep and I just really don't need to be alone a whole lot and just doing a bunch of entertainment when I'm really zoned out, my defenses are down, I'm not even thinking right, I think I just need to go to bed. Or I need to go exercise, I need to do something. Know yourself, know your weaknesses, have a plan to war and to battle against these things when you may be feeling pretty weak and low. Is this hardening my soul to Christ? Is this hindering me from communion and fellowship with Him? So in Ephesians 5, we have to just be honest with this. In Ephesians 5, there's a lot out there, young people, that is celebrated, glamorized by the world, that honestly wrecks the soul. It does. It wrecks the soul. Peter says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain, hold yourself off from fleshly lust or desires that war against the soul. So in Ephesians 5, in verse 2, he says, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know what is celebrated in our culture in pop music and entertainment and many things? I'm not condemning everything that's out there, you know what I'm saying. A lot of what's celebrated, glamorized, propped up, it's just fun, it's innocent. You know, God says, because of these things, the wrath of God is going to come on the children of disobedience. That's not a light thing. That's not small. So we can't just gobble up the filth of this world without discernment, thinking, I'll just be okay. It's not going to affect me. Now, here's the positive. I don't want to just be negative. Here's the positive. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Listen, young people. If you have been brought into fellowship with God, you know what it is to be in the light. And this world is filled with darkness, but if you've been rescued from that, and now you're in the light, you can walk in the light, you can live in the light, and guess what? There's no guilty conscience in the light. There's no regret in the light. The light is freeing and purifying and warm and wholesome and healing and full of joy. Hallelujah. So don't pursue the garbage of the darkness of this world, thinking, if I just had that. Listen, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all we've all been like the psalmist said, we envied the wicked, didn't we? If I could just have a day living like that, I bet, boy, something I could fill it up would really, that's missing would really fill me up. Don't believe that. Don't say that. Believe that the light of Christ is the most glorious way to live, the most glorious way to know, a way of joy, the only way of joy. In verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Some of the things that are so celebrated, God says it's a shame to even have to talk about it sometimes. Listen, when mankind fell in sin and rebelled against God, he messed himself up really badly. He totally twisted the good gifts of God, and he pursued a way of darkness. But I want you to know, young people, that in Jesus Christ there is healing and redemption from what we messed up. And to walk with him is to really live and to really have the fulfilled life. Walk in the light. Pursue the light. Now, you're saying, all right, Brother Timothy, I guess you're saying we can't watch any movie, can't listen to anything out there. I'm not saying that because, honestly, I don't want you to live based on my convictions. I want you to live based upon your convictions that come from the Word of God. And I want you to make godly and wise decisions, factoring all this stuff in and keeping Jesus Christ front and center. Drinking of him as the fountain of living water. And this will help us say, you know what? This is really not good for me right now. You know what? I'm going to do away with it. Or I can enjoy this to the glory of God. I can enjoy this good gift to his honor and to his praise. Let me also say this as we wrap it up. When we talk about media and entertainment, it's not always just a good versus evil thing, is it? Sometimes it's a wisdom thing. So look in 1 Corinthians 6. So Instagram in and of itself is not evil. Facebook in and of itself is not evil. Some of you may debate with that, and we would understand that. But social media, Twitter, etc., all these things in and of themselves are not evil. But listen, but you have to know it's powerful, right? You have to know it's powerful, so you can't just mindlessly pursue it. That's part of the whole message. So keep Jesus front and center. Let him dictate these things. Let him be our ultimate focus. But I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 12. He's talking about some things that are in Christian liberty, things that are permissible that we can engage in. But we still have to do it thoughtfully. So 1 Corinthians 6:12, probably know this verse. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or profitable. All things are lawful for me, get this, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So this is not original with me, but it was someone talking about, you know, smartphone or tablet, all these things. And they said, this should not be the master. This should be the master under Christ, right? I should be able to master this device. It should not be able to master me. That's kind of convicting, isn't it? Wow. This should be my servant. This should be my servant to help me do the things I need to do. Even in some of the things that are permissible, I can enjoy. But this should not dictate to me all that happens. Have you ever been there where you're like, you're just sitting there. You're like, oh, I got to check something. I didn't have to check anything. It's just this nervous energy addiction. I got to be looking at something. So I told my kids the other day that I was at my part-time job at the radio station. And I was just sitting there running the board. Didn't have a whole lot to do, just running the board. And I got to look at something. I said, I'm going to make myself go the rest of my shift at work and not look at this phone, unless it's an emergency. And for the first 10 minutes, it was really hard. And then it got better after probably about 20. And then it was freeing. It's like, hey, right. I just totally relaxed. Yeah. I'm in good shape. Right. So it was given as a challenge at the Fight of Faith conference last week in Huntsville. Brother Mike Stewart had a good challenge. Said, if you want to know if all this stuff's an idol, just take a break from it for a week and you'll find out. Right. If it has too big of a pull, just take a break. In my notes, I said 3 days. I was going to be easier on you than he was, right? Just go 3 days and see if, wow, maybe this is getting a little bit too free. Again, the first day, you might feel like you're going to die. By day two, it's a little easier. And by day three, you're like, wow, this is a good way to live. Now, I'm not saying chunk all the devices, but I am saying this. Do whatever it takes to keep these things under your control as you're under Christ. And not be dominated. Not be dominated by these things. Think about it this way. Paul was talking about the gospel message when he said that he's been made a steward of the mysteries of God. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That principle applies to all of our life, isn't it? God's made you a caretaker of you. God's made you a steward of your mind and of your time and of your energy and of all the things that you do. And God, who has been faithful to us, and Christ, who has been faithful to us, he calls on us to be faithful as we steward our time, as we steward our choices, as we steward our living in this world to the glory and the honor of his name. So my prayer is, as you'll take away from this, this is a matter, it's not just rules, I can't do this, I can do this. My prayer is you'll leave saying, I want to know this person, Jesus, better, and I want to more faithfully follow him. I want to drink of the fountain of living water, and I don't want to let anything hinder my communion with Christ. So that means saying no to something that's hindering me, that's stirring up my sinful flesh. I'm willing to do it because I love Jesus so very much. I want to have fellowship with him. And then I want to be able to enjoy the good gifts I can enjoy. I don't want to have some kind of a needless guilt over everything that's out there. I want to be able to enjoy the good gifts I can enjoy to God's glory. I won't even learn. There might be some movie where I'm thinking about this good versus evil. It makes me think about, wow, the greatest story of all of good versus evil. There might be things I learn in a story from a character. I want to follow that. I want to emulate that. That's a good thing. But boy, I sure want to watch over my heart too. That I'm not letting the world and the loves of the world so influence me and dominate my thought and my mind that I am just barely limping along in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to walk in the light. And I want to have more light. And I want to have more joy. And I want to sit at God's table more. And I want to fill myself up with him more and more and more. I don't want to just have little bite-sized portions of fellowship with God. I don't know about y'all, but that barbecue last night, I didn't just get a little bit, y'all. Man, I filled up. I filled up. It was good. I want to do that with the Lord. Don't you? I want to fill myself up with him. It'll mean sacrifice. It'll mean discipline. Oh, but it'll be worth it. May God give you, give me grace to be faithful as we navigate the craziness of the media and entertainment in this world. Thank you for listening. God bless you.